The actor John Malkovich has built an unconventional career. Among other things, he's known to American audiences for spoofing himself in the film Being John Malkovich. More recently, he directed and starred in a theater production in Vienna, a sort of Baroque opera about a serial killer.
We got a hold of him where he's now staying in Paris to talk about his latest role in the film Disgrace. It's an adaptation of the prize-winning novel by Nobel laureate J.M. Coetzee. The story is set in the shifting world of post-apartheid South Africa. John Malkovich stars as a Cape Town professor who teaches a course in romantic poetry. As the movie begins, his character, David Lurie, is hoping to do something more creative.
He's planning to write an opera about Byron. I have no idea how serious it is, but I can tell him it won't be super easy to get investors for it on Broadway.
Although, given some of your work, it's not as if you haven't done offbeat things that have found their way to investors.
Well, I'd put it this way. There are offbeat things that find their way to investors, and then there are musicals about Byron. But it's not really investigated fully. That's just one of the ideas he had, and that's probably partially metaphorical because David Lurie does something, quote, disgraceful or scandalous in the course of the film, as did Byron quite often in the course of his life. And so I think it's partially there, maybe as a comment about how David Lurie sees himself, either too refined for his age or too scandalous for his age, or maybe both.
Is that why when he has an affair with his student, which is barely consensual, and she apparently takes pills, it becomes a very ugly scandal, a great disgrace.
Sure.
Is that why he, in a sense, thumbs his nose at the university committee that's trying to decide his fate?
Well, clearly he rejects not just the kind of politically correct mores about it. He really rejects the notion that he did anything wrong. Probably if you spend your whole life reading Byron and Keats and Shelley, partaking of their worldview, then you might have a different moral compass than those who don't.
Predictably, David Lurie is fired, and he ends up taking refuge at his daughter Lucy's farm in a solitary stretch of the country. Lucy grows flowers, and she raises dogs on her farm with the help of a black man named Petrus. He was once a field hand. Now she's made him her business partner, a new social reality in post-apartheid South Africa.
Petrus, This is my father.
Molo, Kunjani. I look after the dogs and work in the garden. Yes, the dogmen.
I'm anxious about my daughter alone, so isolated.
Yes, everything dangerous today. But here, it is all right.
Lucy, the daughter, she's open-hearted. She doesn't do what many South Africans do, which is live behind high walls or alarms, doesn't keep a gun. Willing to accept the possibility of violence in the violent place that post-apartheid South Africa has become. Why does that bother her father, David Lurie, so much?
You know, I think there are probably a lot of reasons for that. First of all, he's a parent, so he worries about his child's fate. And I think he sees this land being taken from her. I think he resents that.
As it turns out, all the terrible things David Lurie fears come to pass. Lucy is gang-raped, David viciously beaten and burned. Yet Lucy insists on staying on the farm, choosing to rebuild a life on land that includes her neighbor Petrus, even though he is sheltering one of her attackers. And that's a decision her father David can neither understand nor abide.
Why are you protecting Petrus? Now, Petrus is with them.
Don't shout at me! This is my life! I'm the one who has to live here!
Lucy, If you were too scared to call the police now, we should never have involved them in the first place. We should have just kept quiet and waited for the next attack, or cut our own throats.
Stop it, David!
I think, David Lurie, one thing I'd say about him, I think that's really quite positive, though, is he's not a character with much self-pity. And that's quite refreshing as we're nearing the sort of end of the baby boomer age. It's a quality I won't miss. It's not that he accepts his fate. He wants justice. He finds it just as unjust that her land is taken from her and she's violently attacked. But that's sort of, that's the stuff of drama. Your worst fear comes true. But what also happens is Lucy makes, no, she doesn't make peace with it, because I don't think it's something you make peace with. She endures what happens to her in the hopes that the future will be better.
At the end of this movie, a little more so than in the book, there's a sort of redemption, which seems to me to be about just one word, really, and that's your character has learned to care.
Well, I would say, I'm not sure that I would agree he learned to care. It's not that he didn't care before, he didn't really know how to. And I would say maybe he learns acceptance.
John Malkovich, who stars in the movie Disgrace, which opens in theaters tomorrow. As the movie ends, the camera pans to a vision of the universe Malkovich's character has come to accept, a tidy farmhouse, vulnerable and very small, in the vast, wild landscape of South Africa. And you can find out why movie critic Bob Mondello calls Disgrace elegantly disturbing at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.